Welcome to the LTC University podcast. My name is Jamie Preston, and today we're here with my good friend, one of the senior vice presidents for SC House Calls, Matt Whitehead. How you doing, Matt?
Hello, great. How are you?
I'm good. Good. We're going to talk a little bit about leadership today and a specific aspect of leadership, and that's, you know, holding somebody accountable. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Our favorite buzz phrase.
Yeah, because you hear people talk about it all the time. Like, well, you just need to hold them accountable.
Well, you know, Jamie, about the heck does that mean? The only thing I hear people talk about more than, quote, holding someone accountable is something about their car. So, yeah. I mean, I hear this phrase.
Yeah.
All day long. And like, honestly, it frustrates me because it's not something that I can quantify. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how my brain works. Like, I need to know if I'm doing right or wrong in something by how I can quantify that decision.
Sure.
And holding someone accountable, like, you can't be like, that's like, it's a box you can check. Sure. But if it's effective or not is, you know, really more the problem with, quote, holding someone accountable.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can employ all kinds of strategies, but if they're not effective, then what's the point?
Yeah, it don't matter.
I think that's a great thing you just said there. It's got to be effective. Whatever you're doing, whatever strategies or leadership, you know, you're providing, it's got to be effective at the end of the day. So let's jump in here. You know, Matt, how would you describe, and this could be either negative or positive, how would you describe negatively or positively holding somebody accountable? And that's a loaded question.
That is an unbelievably loaded question, but I'm going to answer it for you here. But before I answer it, I'm going to start with, before you can hold anybody accountable, you've got to hold yourself accountable first. Mm,
that's so good.
You're the example.
Yeah.
If they see you not doing things or cutting corners or, you know, you let one little thing slide here, but not here. Now you're inconsistent. Those are the things that make holding people accountable not effective.
Yeah.
When they don't see you the same line. So in order to hold somebody accountable, you must first be accountable yourself, which, you know, is what I see a lot of times was what frustrates me, or people are just like, no, we need to hold this person accountable. And it's like, yeah, but we could probably start with you if we're being honest here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it just really bothers me. And so to start with that, but to answer your question, I think I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to kind of answer both sides in one response here.
Sure.
Holding somebody accountable doesn't need to be negative. It can be a learning opportunity.
Sure.
And I think that's also going back to the effective part where it becomes ineffective, because people think holding somebody accountable is sitting them down at a desk and filling out a form and telling them everything they've done wrong and sliding it across the table and having them sign it and putting it in their HR file. And you wrote them up, you held them accountable, but that's not how people respond. Yeah. You know, like whenever we were little kids and our report card was in the mail, what did we do? We went home and tried to get it out of the mailbox real quick, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't mean we went and studied any harder.
Yeah.
To make better grades. It just meant I went to intercept my report card before my parents got it. So was that effective or was that not effective? I sure didn't get better grades because of it. Right. And so if you're able to kind of wrap, I hate to use the phrase what they've done wrong, but if you can use that in a way where it can be educational and it can be something where the conversation can not be adversarial. Mm-hmm. In my experience, people react a lot better to that. And not only that, but it can't just another thing people, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead of your questions, you can stop me. But another thing that people do that does not help them hold people accountable is they think it's a one-time thing. Accountability is ongoing.
I look at that as not a problem to solve. You can't solve the problem of accountability. You know, it's a tension to manage, and you always have to stay on top of that.
Yeah. Very well said. Yeah. I mean, it's not something where you can watch somebody make mistakes for a month and then think you're going to go correct that in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in your mind, you quote, held them accountable.
Right. And I think too, you know, I think you got to go back and hold people. If you never hold people accountable, then all of a sudden you start.
You're holding them accountable.
Now it's going to be a bigger tension than mm-hmm. if you started when things were small, when things were not that big of a deal, then it's ongoing and it's welcomed and it's easy versus if you never do it. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I'm going to hold you accountable.
And then all of a sudden your head spins off the planet because of something somebody did wrong that they've been doing wrong that you haven't said anything about.
Exactly. Yeah. I think
that's where honestly
leadership lesson.
We find ourselves in trouble a lot. And it's more because of like how our company's structured, because we're like so mobile and people are out there and mm-hmm. you know, people don't necessarily come to the office, you maybe can't see what they're doing. So like a lot of times in our company, like that piece can be a little disconnected just because of how mobile. That is our company. I mean, we literally go mm-hmm. and see patients in their home. So by, sure. you know, by that alone, our people are out and about in the community seeing patients. So, but once again, that's where you have to go back to one of our previous podcasts, have the pulse of your team, be in regular contact with your team and really know what's going on with your team so that when something does need to happen or somebody needs to be held accountable, you're able to do that and stay on top of that and not let it get to the point where it's, you know, a big deal and then, you know, you're trying to come in and hold someone accountable to, you know, a problem that's been in place for, you know, a long time nobody's ever has chosen never to address for whatever yeah. reason.
Problems but, never get smaller, they always grow at the end of
yeah,
the day.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, really like, I'm going to repeat this. I know I said this earlier, but mistakes are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like if an employee makes a mistake like that, as long as it's not illegal, nobody got hurt. Like it's okay to make a mistake and to, you know, once again, put this back to our company, we all make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you know how much exposure I have every day to be able to make a mistake?
Sure.
And I mean, decisions you have to make yeah. every day.
Yeah.
And how many opportunities there are to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about the fact that, you know, once again, we're putting, you know, providers in patients' homes. I mean, it's a million moving parts to get one provider in front of one patient.
Sure.
You know, and we're, you know, multiplying, you know, we're duplicating that, you know, tens of thousands of times a month.
Mm-hmm.
So like mistakes are going to happen. So like that's, you know, that's really something people have to understand is like, it's not the end of the world if somebody makes a mistake and sure. we shouldn't make it the end of the world.
Right. And I think that's a culture thing. You build that into
yeah,
the culture.
Sure.
You know, this is how we behave. It's okay to make a mistake. It's not fatal to make a mistake. Cause there are organizations that, man, it's like you make a mistake. People are afraid mm-hmm. to admit those mistakes. Cause here's the deal. You can have an organization that you can't make a mistake in. They're going to make the mistakes. They're just not going to tell you. They're going to hide everything. And that's not what you want either. You want things out in the open and it's okay to be out in the open.
I mean, I tell people all the time, I can't keep up with anything but the truth mm-hmm. and what's happening.
That's good.
And if you're trying to manage whatever it is that isn't the fact or the truth that's in front of you, then yeah, I mean, you get bogged down and stuff like that. And then, you know, once again, to go back to the original part, now you're not holding yourself accountable.
Mm.
And if you think people don't see that,
yeah,
you are out of your mind because every one of your employees are watching you like a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching every time you get up, what you do, how long you're gone. And I mean, yeah, because once again, they're holding you accountable just as much.
Yeah.
And that's where
that's a good point. It's mutual accountability.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
And like, I think we talked about in a previous podcast about like humility.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was my whole point with that was like, I mean, my staff has always humbled me real quick.
Mm.
Like if I ever wanted to get big headed or puff my chest out, there was something right around the corner that was going to make me cower back down. I promise you. And like, that's just the reality. Like, yeah. Your staff is going to humble you if you're in a place where you're going to, be okay with that.
Yeah. But I think they need to see you like that too. I think that's a sign of a great leader that's okay with, saying, yeah, I screwed up.
Well, the conversation, right. Well, and that also makes the ongoing conversations about accountability easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's not just a one-off when, you've gone and taken a 3-hour lunch and, somebody took a 15-minute smoke break and they lit up a second cigarette and you went and wrote them up for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's not, and this, may not really be a part of, I guess, really this topic, but like, I always think about too, what's my reaction to this? Is the reaction I'm going to get from this conversation going to be helpful or hurtful?
Mm.
Like, is this person going to leave this conversation and go, screw them, I'll show them, I'm going to sit here and kick my feet up, not do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they go, I messed up. Nobody seems too mad about it. All right, let me pick the phone back up.
Yeah.
And so my point with that is these conversations also can't be petty.
Mm, that's good.
And that's a lot of times where an employee will, that's how they feel about the conversation. It all feels very petty to them. It's like, yeah, I lit up the second cigarette, but like, is that really that big? I mean, is that really that big of a deal? I mean, I was on a break. Like, is it, so like, is a problem really a problem, I guess, is my point. Is this something that, quote, somebody needs to be held accountable for?
Right.
Or is it something where I can walk up to their desk and be like, hey, look, shoot me a text next time you're going to smoke a second cigarette because I had to cover your phone, whatever the situation is. So we get ourselves worked up about things that really aren't that big of a deal. And our only tool in our brain is to, once again, I hate to keep saying this quote, hold somebody accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then what does that mean? Like that's the question I ask people all the time. Like, tell me what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like literally, what does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So respond to this statement, Matt, and relate it to accountability. You'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be good. You're okay. Right. So people don't want to be managed. They want to be led. Respond to that and give us your take on that.
Good leaders are doing both and they don't even realize, and the employees don't even realize it, quite frankly. I mean, because you have to manage.
Sure.
I mean, you can't not manage.
Right.
But once again, that goes back to, are you, normally present? Are you around? Are you accountable yourself? Like, is that, so like, once again, all this plays back into that. But I mean, a good leader can do both. And I guess, as I think through this right now, people don't even realize they're being managed.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's the, because like, once again, like, what does management mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's define
that.
Just
like,
what
is holding someone accountable? Do you have everything you need to do your job? Do you have all the tools you need or all the obstacles out of your way? Mm. And basically, I mean, I'm going to really say this not right, but it's eliminating excuses.
Yeah.
To me, that's what management is.
Mm, that's so good.
How many excuses can I eliminate? Because everybody's got, this person doesn't answer the phone. Oh, this provider won't do. So all those are excuses.
Yeah.
Now they may be valid excuses. I'm not denying that, but ultimately they're still excuses.
Yeah.
So how do I eliminate these excuses? To me, that's what management is. And anybody who's ever worked with me, I say that to them all the time. I'm like, my job is to eliminate all the obstacles in your way so you can do your job. Because I'm not a nurse practitioner.
Right.
So tell me what your block is so I can get that block out of your way so you can go see another patient today. Or you can get to that last telehealth visit. You can do one more follow-up today on your labs from earlier in the week.
Yeah. Let's use a sports analogy here, because this is what it made me think of when you said that. I think as a leader, as a somebody who's responsible for holding people accountable, I think what you're saying, Matt, is that nurse practitioner is the running back. But the leader is the offensive line. They don't get near as much credit as they deserve, but they're pushing people out of the way. So well, that
even
they can
even
get
more
through.
Into your analogy, if like think about a good offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. If you never hear their name, they're probably doing their job really well.
Mm, wow.
You know the offensive lineman's name that gives up all the sacks, right?
Yeah.
Not the one who gave up one pressure in, you know, three games over here. Like, mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, yeah, I would consider like our frontline staff, really that offensive line, the providers are your skill position players. Mm-hmm. And then as much as I normally call the RVPs, the air traffic controllers, they would essentially be the quarterback. They're throwing the rock around.
Yeah.
What do you need? Oh, right. Nope. You're open. There you go. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it.
Yep.
And no, so, and so, and so, and so it, you know, it really is like that. And to give you one more example, and I use this example all the time, because I hear people say this to me all the time. There's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, let's walk through that one. Let's go walk into a kitchen right now. Is there mm-hmm. one chef back there cooking everything?
Nope.
Nope. There's someone over there doing the appetizer, somebody doing the dessert, somebody on the grill, somebody putting it all together, somebody cleaning everything, somebody going out there to bust the tables.
Yep.
So yeah, it takes a team. So sure, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen because that's how many cooks it takes to cook for all the people in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So how yeah. is that any different than us with 40,000, you know, patients across two states that we're taking care of?
Mm-hmm. You can't do it without a team. You got to have the MA.
You cannot do it without a
manager.
Team.
You got to have every piece is important too.
You've got to have the person that makes sure when the patient calls, they answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure. every you got to have the coder on the back end, making sure the claim gets pushed out correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has got a piece to it. It's not just the nurse practitioner who is going out there and actually seeing the patients. There are now granted, they're doing a large chunk of it.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy in the restaurant fixing the entrees is doing, you know, a lot of the work too, but he's also probably the main chef in the restaurant, you know, getting paid the most. So, you know, to a certain degree, you know, that's the setup, but it's gotta be team, which is, you know, why we've gone into, you know, like kind of changed our model into the care teams. And that, you know, that's a whole nother podcast we can do one day, but you know, that's why we've really gone to that model. As we're getting into this ACO now, because it does take a team to keep, you know, a 72-year-old non-compliant diabetic who's got to go, you know, in end-stage renal disease, who doesn't care what we want them to do.
Yeah.
And now we're writing the bills for their hospital stay. Mm. Or writing the checks for the bills for their hospital stay.
Sure.
So, like, you think one person's going to manage that? Yeah, $16,000 a day.
Yeah. It's the most expensive hotel around.
Man. Unbelievably.
Yeah.
Expensive level of care, but it's going to take a pharmacist to make sure the medications are right. It's going to take a dietitian to make sure that, you know, they're getting the right, you know, nutrition so their wound heals.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of different factors that can go into that. And, you know, I love them. Our nurse practitioners, they can definitely be territorial and I get it. But I mean, it's gotta be a team approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do everything. And like one other question that I normally like to ask nurse practitioners whenever I'm in a room with like nurse practitioners and pharmacists, I'll have a nurse practitioner and I'll ask them, like, how many classes did you take on medication
mm-hmm.
in nurse practitioner school? And they'll be like, usually the answer is either zero or one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, hey, here's a pharmacist. Like, how many yeah. of your classes were on medication? Mm-hmm. And they'll say every one.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. But
I think it too, it goes back to, I've heard our CEO, Matt Staub, talk about this is, you know, do you want a nurse practitioner drawing blood or do you want a phlebotomist? I'll take sure. the phlebotomist, you know, they have extremely different educations. You know, the nurse sure. practitioner's got a lot more education, a lot of experience, but I'll take the phlebotomist every day because that's what they're a specialist in. And that's part of that team is playing your role.
That's what they do. Yeah.
That's what they do.
But like even deeper than that, why do you feel the need to do that? You have mm-hmm. somebody to do that for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I promise you, if our rule was, hey, all the nurse practitioners have to do their own blood draws, they'd be like, go hire a bunch of phlebotomists then. We don't want to do that. Yeah. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to do it either. But now we give you phlebotomists if you want to do it yourself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's a constant, you know, back and forth, which is fine. I mean, you know, that's the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back to our conversation about accountability, that also, you know, with our nurse practitioners, sometimes that can be a little difficult because, you know, in terms of what they're doing for, you know, patient care and whatnot, they're in charge of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, you get those conversations have to be a little bit different. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with difficult conversations, then you're probably not going to ever be able to hold anybody accountable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you have to be okay with that. You have to be able to just be honest with people and just get through it. I mean, it sucks, sure, but.
Yeah. So how important is helping people understand the mission when it comes to accountability, helping them. And we're in a very fluid company. It changes.
Yeah.
Constantly.
That's why I don't know if you heard me giggle
yeah.
on the other end of this, but that was the source of, well, and I'm not saying this about us. I'm just saying in general, sure. I mean, you have to know the mission.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all,
yeah.
You have to, I mean, to some degree, believe in the mission, right? If you're going to, you know, put yourself out there enough to, you know, have difficult conversations and hold people accountable for it. So, sure. I mean, you have to believe in it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, especially with what we're doing, because like anytime I get an opportunity to talk to like a group of like new employees, like I have one constant message to them. Mm-hmm. And that's like, please understand that you're at the tip of the healthcare spear right now.
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot of companies, and by not a lot, I don't think there's any that are doing what we're doing inside of an ACO.
Sure.
At least not to the scale that we're doing it to.
Yeah. And holding
and so,
people,
like, that
when you're
makes
a pioneer,
it look a little different.
Yeah. When you're a pioneer in something, it's totally different trying to hold people accountability. Mm-hmm. To hold them accountable.
Well, and it's also really hard to get people to buy into it. Mm. And man, I've worked with nurses everywhere. They're a skeptical bunch.
Yeah.
They are. I get it. I mean, I'm skeptical. I'm not even saying that. But if they don't understand why we're doing what we're doing and how we're going to do what we're doing and how what we're doing isn't going to put them or any patients at risk,
yeah,
they're not going to do it. Yeah. You can hold them as accountable as you want to, and they'll walk out the back door and have a job before they get to their car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because once again, they're a nurse. I mean, they can go work. I mean, because they can do that.
Yeah.
So it's very important that, like, the people that are delivering the message, and I hate to sound like some, like, propaganda over here, but whoever is delivering that message has got to understand the message and be able to explain the message and be comfortable with the message and believe in the message.
Sure.
Because if you're, you know, if you're going to a nurse practitioner and you're like, look, this patient's got a 5 risk score and you've only seen him one time this month, we need to see him every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that nurse practitioner goes, well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
If you don't really believe that patient needs to be seen, what's your reaction going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And you think they're going to be able to pick up on that? Yeah. Absolutely. They're going to be able to pick up on that. And then the rest of the conversation doesn't even matter.
Right.
Because they already know you don't believe in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, okay. I mean, if you don't understand or believe what you're telling people.
Can't hold them accountable. Like,
I mean, dude, these people are smart, brother.
Mm-hmm.
We sure. employ dummies. These people are very smart. They will figure that out probably instantly, quite frankly. And... you know, I mean, honestly, I love them for it because once again, it holds me accountable. And this goes to, you know, our larger conversation. And, you know, I coach the people who work for me all the time, whenever they're talking to people, but like, you better have your stuff straight. You better not go into that conversation, not knowing what you're talking about or being, you know, halfway no or halfway in it, or you haven't done your homework. Cause I promise you, whoever you're talking to probably has. And they're going to expect you to have.
Hmm.
And so when you don't, once again, not to sound like a broken record, but they know that. Yeah. They pick up on that. So guess what? Now you're not having difficult conversations or holding anybody accountable. Mm-hmm. Sorry. No. Not listening.
Yeah, that's great. Such good stuff here, Matt.
But hopefully.
Let's recap here. You know, yeah. In the beginning, you talked about demonstrating accountability, you know, holding yourself accountable before you can hold anybody else accountable. It sets the stage. There's no doubt about it. You know, you talked about fixing the small things first. You know, don't wait until something balloons, you know, into something big, then you hold them accountable. You can't. It's never going to end ongoing. Well. Yeah. Start small. You know, you do it in the small things. The next thing I love what you said is clear the way for your team. Take away any excuses or whatever roadblocks they may have. As a leader, your job is to clear the way for your team to do their job well. And then lastly, continually communicate your mission and your message. And you have to believe in it. Such good stuff. I love it. There's so much.
I love how you just succinctly took all my rambling and put it into four or five little nice bullet points. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I never could have done that.
Well, I was typing as we go along.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, this has been so good, Matt. You're speaking to leaders right now, people that are in charge, people that are, you know, responsible for holding people accountable. What's your final message to them?
My first message, if you're not holding yourself accountable, then the entire conversation it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because once again, our employees are not stupid.
Yep.
They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're not hiding anything from them.
Yep.
And if you're not doing what you need to do, they see that. And the minute you come in there and try to point out a problem that they've done, when they know that you don't hold, you know, you don't have the same standard, you lose them instantly.
Yep. You never get anywhere.
So that, not only do you never get anywhere, but you lose your team.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're, once they think that's how you are, that's how you are. Perception is reality, to go back to another Matt Staubism. Perception is reality. Doesn't matter. Yeah. That's what they think. That's what they think.
You so can't lead somebody that doesn't respect you. And if you've lost respect,
that's a better way to say that.
If you've lost respect, you know, by not holding yourself accountable, there's no way you can hold them accountable. That's such good. This is a gold, Matt.
And
I love it.
And just one other little piece of that. It also can't just be like, I never see you until, you know, there's a huge problem and then you're in here trying to hold me. Like, it should be ongoing conversations.
Yeah. It's got
to run to the fire.
Yep.
If you hear somebody, some little drama simmering up, go take care of it. Yeah. Because if you don't, in 2 weeks, who knows what's going to be happening.
It's going to be an inferno.
And you're going to be sitting there going, God, I wish I'd have just said something 2 weeks ago whenever I first heard about this. And now I got this big problem on my hands. And now, once again, that's an excuse. Oh, I can't do this because I'm dealing with this problem over here that I ignored. You know, so, I mean, it all rolls downhill. But
yeah, I love that. Run to the fire before it comes an inferno.
Yeah, that would be a Teresa Eunice-ism.
It would be. and she's
I like everybody's little isms around here. Yeah.
I will never forget. That was one of the pieces of advice she gave me as a hospice marketer. You know, a long time ago, we had an issue in a facility. We had a problem. We caused a tag in a facility. And she said, Jamie, don't hide from it. She's like, run to it. Run to the fire. Mm-hmm. That was her advice. I'll never forget it. So,
and if we hadn't, that tag might have turned into an IJ. For anybody who doesn't know, immediate jeopardy, very bad tag, and get in a nursing home.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, you probably could have saved them from fines and all kinds of other stuff just by going to deal with it. Now, did you have to go in there with egg on your face and go, we're sorry we got you a tag? Yeah, sure. But did they respect you doing that at least?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sure they did. I feel like I remember that. Yeah. That situation, but
yep, for sure. Well, Matt, this has been great. Thank you so much for all this advice and And thank you for your leadership. Me. You know, you are somebody who holds yourself accountable, and you know, it's evident. And thanks for all you do.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network, The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and The Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.